Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
The Volume.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code JOHN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code JOHN, JOHN, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What is going on, everybody? Happy weekend. Hopefully everyone's doing good. A little best of coming from the Three and Out podcast. Hopefully everyone's enjoying the weekend or having a good Saturday morning. And here's what we wanted to do. We talked at length this week about the Falcons draft. Scottie Scheffler is the next majors in a couple weeks. He's 40-1 to win the Grand Slam, which even Tiger Woods never did. Is it possible? And then I listened to Max Crosby and Devontae Adams. They had a podcast together. Well, it's Max's podcast. Devontae went on it. And I took away a couple things from there. About work ethic and Jordan Love, and it was a really good listen. I recommend it if you want something to listen to beside this great podcast. Hopefully you think that. But, yeah, so we will do that. And my friends at Game Time, you guys know them. Download the app, promo code JOHN, promo code John. Download the app now and use the promo code John at checkout to save $20 off your first pair of tickets, any events, concerts, comedy shows. You guys know the deal. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app right now, create an account, and use the code JOHN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem the code JOHN. JOHN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed. Let's talk some sports. The Atlanta Falcons. They really are the talk of the league. I texted with countless teams that were in the playoffs. All of them brought up this situation because it's baffling.
And I think the one thing as a general manager that's a lot different, obviously the two most important non-players in your organization, there's the owner who signs the check. Clearly he's important. But ideally he just kind of stays out of the way and gives you whatever you need, are the coach and the GM. And like a lot of businesses, the incentives for the two are not always the same. Obviously, winning is the most important thing. The GM and the coach, they want to win. Week one, week eight, in the playoffs, right? That's the clear goal of the organization, to win. But the coach is consumed with week one in the season. He is not thinking big picture. For the most part, you have some of these tenured coaches like an Andy Reid, like a John Harbaugh, who definitely thinks a little big picture. But they are completely judged on the immediacy of the season, success or failure. The GM's job is to balance the present and the future. No different than like a CEO in the private sector, right? Jamie Dimon is trying to have successful quarters. He's also worried about the health of JP Morgan over the next 5 years. He's not just always living in the present. And I think you go around, Tim Cook, Elon Musk, you name it. Tesla's having a good couple days. And I think as a GM, planning, strategic planning, is something that separates the good from the bad at that position. And as a GM, like the draft for coaches, for a lot of coaches, including guys that miss the playoffs, really gets going early February. The coaching staff gets involved typically at the combine or after. I mean, they go to the Senior Bowl, they haven't watched a soul. The scouting staff, starting with the GM, because he's the guy at the highest, you know, part of the hierarchy, starts watching these players in like a week. They start watching the prospects for next year's draft in a week. And the reality is, when they've scouted these guys that they just drafted, they were keeping an eye on a lot of the top players for next year. You're always thinking big picture. Why did Howie trade this year to get a third, a fourth, and a fifth extra for next year? He said it in his press conference. Because next year's draft is going to be a lot deeper because a lot of guys went back to school. I had a scout tell me, whenever this gets to the draft grades, everyone freaking out, like the Lions are getting crushed. And he's like, yeah, this was the type of draft where you take an offensive lineman from British Columbia or wherever the hell he's from in Canada in the fourth round. Not that weird. This was that type draft. So if you are Terry Fontenot, the GM for the Atlanta Falcons, you have been scouting this crop of players since last May. You have been really dialed in on them since the season. You have a very, very good feel for especially the top of the draft. Later in the draft gets weird. But the top 50 players, the ebb and flow of those guys from late August till the end of the college football season. When you miss the playoffs, as the Falcons did, you know where you're drafting, like the first week in January. They've had the eighth pick now for 4 months. This wasn't something that changed. In free agency, a lot of things are fluid, right? You cut guys, guys take pay cuts, your cap changes, weird shit happens. You saw it with the Chargers. Went into the offseason, like, who are they going to keep between the big four, the two receivers and the two pass rushers? No one really knew. It's like, could Bosa be traded? Could Mack be cut? Could Keenan restructure? And then it played out. Kept the two D linemen, the two wide receivers. It's a very fluid process. The draft, in terms of your pick, is not. Now, when you're at like Chris Ballard, for example, he said Latu was the number one defensive player on his draft. That's probably been set for a couple months. But he has no clue at pick 15 if that guy's going to be there or not. All the stories before the draft, Howie Roseman trying to trade up for the corner probably that he inevitably got. Why? Because he's like, I'm not sure if that guy's going to be there when we pick. A lot is out of your control when you're at 15, at 18, definitely in the 20s. But when you're in the top 10, and it is very clear who the first five picks are going to be. I don't have Jim Harbaugh's number, but I know enough people in the league and have followed his career like he's taking an O-lineman. Everyone and their mother, even though Mondi Austin Fort was like, we're open for a trade, clearly he even said, like, it's going to take a lot for us to move, but we are open, knew that he was going to take the wide receiver, and it was going to be Marvin Harrison. So you knew all the wide receiver, or the quarterbacks are going to go, and shit, we've known that for a long time. We've known Caleb Williams was going number one like 2 years ago. And then with Jaden's success and either Drake May or J.J. McCarthy, you knew five, like you had a pretty good idea who the first five picks were going to be. And at pick six, you're like, the Giants, what are they going to do? Well, it's pretty clear the coach needs to win this year. Not going to take a quarterback if he didn't trade up. Well, he couldn't trade up and he ended up taking a wide receiver. And at seven with the Titans, they weren't taking a quarterback. Why? Because Rand Carthen loves Will Levis. So the GM, Terry Fontenot, who says, you know, things change, we had to think big picture, you've known or had a damn good idea for a long period of time that Michael Penix was going to be there at number eight. Every team has the same amount of resources. They all have the same amount of cap space. They all have the same amount of draft capital. You just get to choose how you want to use it. If you want to trade three first-rounders for Deshaun Watson or Trey Lance, that's your choice. If you want to give Christian Wilkins $85 million, if you want to trade two first-rounders and pay Jalen Ramsey like the Rams did or Matt Stafford, you can do whatever the fuck you want. But this is not baseball, where the A's spend no money, the Rays spend little money, the Yankees spend a ton, the Dodgers spend even more. This is football. The Bengals and the Vikings and the Rams and the Cowboys, they all have the same amount of capital. How you choose to allocate that capital makes or breaks you. The Atlanta Falcons quarterback situation last year was an embarrassment. It was. They started a guy who's probably a fringe backup as their full-time starter, and it wrecked their season. They needed a quarterback. They knew it. We knew it. My mother knew it. It's not a complicated situation they were in. But figuring out how you're going to allocate your resources for your quarterback is a game changer. The Vikings were in the same scenario. So they figured out a way. Now, I'm kind of with Colin. JJ is a pretty risky player, but they didn't go out and re-sign Kirk Cousins to also sign JJ McCarthy. Why? That would make no sense. What did they do? They gave $10 million to Sam Darnold. That if JJ needs a red shirt and Sam's having a good year, we'll play him. And then we'll transition after the year. The Raiders, who got left at the altar, tempted to do the same thing. We'll give Gardner Minshew whatever, $8, $10 million to hold us over, and we'll figure out if we can draft a quarterback. We have no clue. The Falcons went all in on Kirk Cousins. That move in a vacuum totally makes sense. A little risky because he's coming off the Achilles, but like, hey, you want to get Kirk Cousins? Okay. Then to draft a guy at eight who is a ready-made player. This is not like when the Packers drafted Jordan Love. One, he was a project. Two, they had a guy who had won several MVPs on their team. And nobody, including Jordan Love, his family, his girlfriend, and everyone in his life said, you got a chance to beat out Aaron Rodgers. It was honestly laughed at by a lot of people in Packer. Like, what are we doing here? Here's the thing with Kirk Cousins. And this is what happens when you jump around teams. You have no equity with this team. You do with the owner because he gave you money. The fans don't give a shit. The players definitely do not. And I've said this a couple times because I thought this was one of the best tweets I saw this weekend is, Kirk Cousins is not going to be available at OTAs. So who's going to be getting the reps? It ain't going to be some random guy on the roster. It's going to be Michael Penix. Well, what are the Falcons full of on offense? Young, impressionable players. Bijan Robinson, Drake London, Kyle Pitts. These guys have no connection to Kirk Cousins. So all of a sudden, Michael Penix looks good in practice. They don't care how much money you gave them. Michael Lombardi said it on his podcast today. You can't lie to the players. Now, you're obligated to initially start this guy because of the money you're giving him. But you have created a locker room dynamic that is really, really awkward. Going back to the Packers and Jordan Love, a little weird because it pisses off Aaron Rodgers, but there's no weird locker room dynamic. Devontae Adams, all the offensive linemen, Aaron Jones, you name it. Every offensive skill guy on that team doesn't even need to see Jordan Love practice to go, no way he's better than this other guy. No way is it even a question mark. But this, the question marks immediately start. What if Kirk Cousins is not near what he once was because of this injury? What if he starts rusty? What if it's just a weird transition? What if his emotions, as Colt McCoy said, because Colt spent time around him in Washington, like, yeah, he's kind of sensitive. What if this rattles him? So I totally understand the logic of investing in the quarterback position. The Packers did it with a late first-round pick. The Eagles did it with Jalen Hurts in the second round. Bill Belichick did it once upon a time with a second-round pick of Jimmy Garoppolo. You can go back to Bill Walsh when he traded little to nothing for Steve Young. When you invest the eighth overall pick into a player in 2024, no one wants to watch that guy sit on the bench. Not a fucking soul. Especially when he started for half a decade in college football. This isn't some project. No one knows if Michael Penix is going to be any good, including Michael Penix or the Atlanta Falcons. I think he's a pretty damn good player. I liked him a lot. I have no issue if you want to draft him eighth overall. But if you just guaranteed a quarterback $100 million, it just doesn't make any sense. And Coward's big thing is like, it's like buying insurance. I hear that. The difference is you would never allocate that much money to Cousins and then buy insurance that costs as much as Penix does. Because this is the and what you gave up, the ability to draft a very impactful defensive player. It does not add up. It simply does not. And it gets back to the Falcons have no plan. They didn't have a plan. They are flying by the seat of their pants. Because this would have been one heading into free agency going, guys, we don't need to give Cousins all this money. Why don't we just sign one of these guys for $10 to $12 million for one season to give us a little breathing room? But I'm like 90% confident, hell, 95% confident, on March 15th, that Michael Penix is going to be there at 8. And worst case scenario, over the next month, we start getting a little rattled that something's going to happen. It's way easier for us at 8 to trade up to 4 with the Cardinals to get him than any of those guys in the early teens, like the Raiders or Seattle or whoever. We are much closer, and it allows Monty, okay, maybe he can't get Marvin Harrison, but he could draft Roma Dunze, who is the wide receiver they would have drafted if they would have done a trade back. Because they were never going to trade 4 out of there. So to me, this speaks to embarrassing planning. This is a joke. It really is. And this feels like I'm all for being influenced like over the last month. But the GM should have been all over this in December. That's his job. This is not Raheem Morris's job or not Zach Robinson's job to be locked in. So clearly they fell in love with the guy. This is a coach influence pick, right? They really like the guy. So does the GM not like the guy? I just don't understand. Now, I've only worked for one GM, Howie Roseman, and it's always big picture planning. That's the way he operates. I can't even relate. I mean, I honestly can't. And I'm not acting like the draft is easy or this is some exact science, but I think we all agree that if you're going to give Cousins that money, to draft this player at 8, when you would have known that before you gave Cousins this money, is fucking moronic. It really is. Because you didn't have to allocate. And what's the most powerful thing about a rookie quarterback? Bo Nix, Drake May, Caleb Williams, go around. J.J. McCarthy, all these guys that got drafted high. Their contract. Why? Because they don't make that much money. And if they turn into a solid starter or a high-end player, it's the best deal in all of sports. It's been the number one thing. Obviously, you would say the number one thing is Purdy's played well. But you would say 1B is he makes $1 million a year. We could argue, is he a $50 million player? Is he a $30 million player? He sure as hell is worth more than $1 million. But the 49ers have had way more wiggle room because of that deal. And the Falcons just wasted that. Because the $100 million they just gave to Cousins is the type of contract you would give to Christian Wilkins, to a sweet defensive player, to a sweet offensive lineman, whatever. Make a trade next year with your first-round pick and go get a Jalen Ramsey.
But now they've used that bullet, at least these first couple years, on the same position. In quarterback, like kickers, there's only one. You don't get to mix them in. So if I'm one of these teams that just took, if I'm the Vikings and I just took Dallas Turner, let's say he's not ready year one. He still gets to play. He still gets to give me maybe 10 designated pass rushes or a corner, some of these guys that were drafted early. What if they're slow to figure it out? You can still use them on special teams. Maybe bump them into nickel throughout the season if they're more comfortable there early on than outside. Can't do that with quarterback. If Cousins is just playing, Penix just sits there. And he was, I would say, of all the players not named Caleb, was the last player who just needs to quote-unquote sit there. So I'll never get behind this because I don't think they had a plan. And I think they're just freewheeling that. And whether you're running Apple, Tesla, or JP Morgan Chase, or running a football team, if you are in management and don't have a plan, I'm going to bet against you. I don't think you have any chance. So the Falcons, it was just, I can't get over it. I think it's one of the dumbest set of, you know, moves. Cousins and Penix, the combination, I think we've seen in recent memory. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just a job board. They help you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else. Did you know 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites? LinkedIn's the only one I use. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to make the process easier. They even just launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions, making the process even easier and quicker. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/john. That's linkedin.com/john to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah, it's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Colin used to have this thing back in the day before he came to Fox. I mean, he still talks about it, but it was like one of his big takes was how he hated the underdog. He hated the little guy. And I first started listening to him when I was in college and throughout when I went to Fresno State. And it used to tick me off because I was working for the little guy. And we weren't ever good enough to make a run, but we played Boise State. And Boise State, I often thought, could like compete with USC, Texas, whoever in the SEC. Like, they were a national championship contender. Now, they never got that opportunity, but I truly believe that to my core. But I've changed my thinking over time. And listen, I'm very grateful to have gone to school at Cal Poly and Fresno State, two programs that are not the University of Texas or Michigan or Ohio State when it comes to athletics, that's for sure. And now, like, as a fan, I like watching the big dogs. I haven't watched much of the NBA playoffs. I've watched every dribble, or I did, it's over now, of the Lakers Nuggets. And it was fantastic. One of the best five-game series I've ever seen. Mainly because I love seeing the Lakers lose, and I knew they would. But Jokic is clearly established himself as not only the best player currently in the world, but one of the best players we've ever seen. And right now he's about to win his third MVP in like 4 years. Unless someone on his team gets injured, including himself, they're going to win the NBA championship. Like, he's going into hallowed territory. And I like watching guys separate from the pack. I like watching the best teams and the best players. What Patrick Mahomes just did is insanity. Win his third Super Bowl in 5 years. He's established as not just the best quarterback in the NFL, but one of the best players we've ever seen. And he's like in the peak of his powers. Not even 30 yet. So like, how far can he go? My favorite athlete there's two of them, but as a kid, like anyone born in the mid-80s, Michael Jordan was spectacular. And then coming into your own as a sports fan, getting to live through Tiger Woods is something we'll probably never see again and something I'm very, very glad that I got to watch and like really be able to defend it. Because I've always often said, like, if you're in a bar arguing with someone, if you didn't grow up or were of age to watch that player, it's a hard argument. YouTube does not do justice to when you're watching a guy live, especially as you get older. Like, I can speak pretty confidently about Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, about Steph Curry, about Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson and Rory, whoever. I mean, the players that I've watched. It's hard for me, besides like, yeah, I know Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, all-time greats, but to like legitimately get into an argument. Like, if we're getting to an argument about Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer, even like Greg Norman and Nick Faldo, like, I don't feel as strong in my argument. I can watch all the YouTubes and 30 for 30s and everything possible on the internet. It is not the same. So watching Scottie Scheffler doing what he's currently doing is freaking awesome. Now, the sad part is the tour's in turmoil, the tour is split, and television ratings are down. Despite golf, in terms of the amateur world, never being more popular. More people are playing golf in 2024 than ever before. The access is much easier. There are a ton of courses. The public courses are absolutely packed. The waiting list at country clubs all over the country is a mile long. And golf's very, very popular. It's a unique sport, right? I played high school football. Have not played a down since. Most people that play high school football never play in college. Yet we become football fans the rest of our life. But I'm never going to throw a pass at Lambeau Field. I'm never going to run for a yard in Heinz Field, right, where the Pittsburgh Steelers play. Just like, I'll never shoot baskets at MSG. But I can play golf at the overwhelming majority of courses that pros play. And if you're lucky enough to run in the right circles, you might even get access to some of the sweet courses they play that are country clubs. It's not possible. Like, if you're a tennis player, you're not playing Wimbledon. That's what makes golf pretty special. And Tiger really brought that to light. He made it cool. I don't know if Scottie Scheffler is that. He's not even close to the level of superstar that Tiger was. But he is a special player in the peak of his powers. And after he won the Masters pretty easily, I thought the most impressive accomplishment he's had in his career, and he's won the Masters twice, was winning the next week. He literally went home. His wife was pregnant. When he gets home to Texas, she's asleep. He goes out with the boys. 48 hours later, he flies back to, you know, the RBC at like Tuesday night, starts slow on Thursday, and then you look up on Sunday, he's kicking the shit out of everybody. And I looked on DraftKings today right now. They have a special for him to win the Grand Slam. He's 40-1. Now, I said after the Masters, the only thing, like, I think is over-under right now on majors is 2.5. That's what I would put it at. Because I think between Pinehurst and the Open Championship, he's a lock to win one of those two. The only reason I'm hesitant on the PGA Championship in Valhalla is because his wife any day could have a baby. And then the moment when you first have a baby, you don't sleep. You're sleeping in a terrible chair bed. Never had one, but seen pictures. been to the room after my friends and brothers have had kids, but it's a life-changing moment, and a life-changing moment for you personally, especially in the short term, just with sleep and your routine is going to be thrown off. So who knows how much practice he's going to have before the PGA. And then I started thinking, like, well, he had no practice or probably slept that much or did anything the couple days leading into the RBC, and he basically won with his fucking eyes closed. So why couldn't he win a major? Now, obviously, if his wife hasn't gone into labor, and that's a story that to me would have much more substance behind it because she could actually have the baby, that's a whole different conversation. But if the baby happens before, you know, I don't know if I'm off him that much. And if he were to win Valhalla, that 40-1 to me probably goes down to like 12-1 immediately. Because, one, I think he's winning Pinehurst. I mean, it sets up perfectly for him. And by then, he will have enough time to kind of get his routine and just get some normal sleep in order for the major push. I looked at last year, and remember, he couldn't putt last year. He was an awful putter. He finished T10 at the Masters, which probably going to be an outlier for his career because he's going to win that thing like five times. And then the next two majors, the PGA and the U.S. Open at L.A. Country Club, he finished T2 and third. Again, could not putt. The British Open, which has given him some trouble, though he's only played in three, he finished T23. And 2 years ago, his best finish in 2021 was T8. I guess my overall point is, I don't think it's crazy at all to throw a little money on him 40-1 to win the Grand Slam. Seems crazy, right? Just because of how difficult it is, how much pressure is on these majors. But for the first time since Tiger, you're like, yeah, this is real. This is very, very possible. Now, the crazy thing is, when Tiger was in his heyday, you know, people loved to make fun. Like, it was just plumbers and firemen is the type of guys he was playing. Now, he played against some pretty good players. Last time I checked, like, Ernie Els could play. Vijay Singh could play. I mean, David Duval in the late 90s was pretty damn good. Now, the depth of talent was nowhere near what it is now. Not even close. But Scotty showed, like, he's not even that affected by it. I don't give a shit how good all these guys are. I'm dramatically better. Now, the irony is the one guy that could take him down is a guy that would be playing potentially in a second major, Ludvig, who is clearly a special, got a chance to be a transcendent talent. So I just think this 40-1 number, if you would have told me before the year, or just moving forward, anyone could ever win the Grand Slam again, I'd be like, it'd be shocking if a guy won two majors in a year, given the current crop of guys playing in these major championships and the depth of just elite players. I mean, it goes 15 deep with just high-end players. I don't know. He might just be that much better than everyone despite the baby situation.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
And I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah, it's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar!
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Juan Gabriel.
Juanquis.
Selena.
Selena.
Celia Cruz.
Azúcar.
Carol G.
La Bichota.
Christina Aguilera.
Ex-Tina.
Just to name a few.
We're serving the whole story.
From rags to riches.
And all the tea in between.
I'm Liliana Vasquez.
And I'm Joseph Carrillo.
And we're the host of Becoming an Icon Season 2.
Guess who's back in the house?
And we're bringing you even more stories behind the world's biggest stars in Latin music.
Certified Latin royalty.
Consider us your star sleuths, your chisme besties, digging beneath los mejores éxitos to bring you everything you didn't know about your favorite Latin icons.
Hey, you know what, my boo? You're my favorite icon.
Aw, Joseph!
Listen to Becoming an Icon, part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I've been saying this for a while because the hype, and rightfully so, is pretty outrageous, right? They finished the season strong. Their defense was playing well. The Sweat trade aged pretty well. He was an immediate impact player. Jalen Johnson became, I don't want to say like a superstar, but a super high-end corner. Fresno kid. Always root for him. And Ryan Poles, I think, universally is considered like a really good GM now. Just had an elite 12-month stretch. I've said this to Colin. I've said this on this podcast. I say it to anyone I talk to. The trade he made for the Panthers, whether Caleb works out or not, has to be one of the great fleece jobs in league history. Just the value alone in that trade, let alone if this trade works out, if DJ Moore continues to be a high-end player for them and Caleb Williams just becomes a top 12 quarterback. It was highway robbery. It was a Latanza heist. I mean, that's what it was. It turned the other franchise into shambles. I mean, no one gets made fun of more than the Panthers. And no one gets more credit. And that's what happens when you have a crazy lopsided deal. So you look at the franchise, you go, well, Bears trajectory high. Caleb going to be the starting quarterback. I mean, at minimum, even if things go shitty for 3.5 years, he's going to get a long runway. Ryan Poles, he's getting a second coach. Here's the problem. We have absolutely no clue. None. If Eberflus is good. And all the pressure, because I saw today the odds for the first time in a long time, the Chicago Bears over-under is 8.5. And the under is like minus 140. So they are favored to have an above 500 record. And that's just from a gambling standpoint. I just think if you talk to random people, I'm not even talking Bears fans, you go, yeah, I think the Bears would be pretty good. They have not had that type hype in a long, long time. Probably since the Khalil Mack trade. And when Mitch was kind of an unknown. Well, now, let's face it, we think this team is better because clearly, even if you were high on Mitch Trubisky, your views on Caleb Williams are going to be much higher. Well, they have a coach who is not some established big-name guy who's coaching for his job. Now, you can say it's the NFL. Most coaches, beside like the top 6 or 7, are coaching for their job. But this guy, you could see a scenario. If they miss the playoffs and win 8 games, and even if in some tight losses, they look really good, he is not the coach moving forward. And the big theme right now, I heard Slareth with Coward, and he's like, one thing Steve Young used to hammer home all the time is it can be difficult for a young quarterback playing with a defensive coach, especially a highly touted guy. And Colin's big thing always is like, hire the offensive head coach. Now, obviously, there are good head coaches that aren't the offensive play caller. But if we did a coaching draft, we all know the majority of guys going in the top 5 are head coaches that call the plays. I mean, 3 of the top 5 guys for sure would be Andy, Kyle, and Sean McVay in some order. Andy would clearly go 1. And then there'd be the Harbaughs and, you know, guys like that fighting. And even Jim, despite being viewed as like an offensive lineman, defensive guy, is a former quarterback. So you look at the situation, and I everyone is really high on it and everyone's anointing these guys. And listen, I'm no different. I like this team, but I've been around football long enough now. I've been going to training camps and been around operations from watching Andy Reid and Harbaugh coach to guys like Jim Tom Sula and Chip Kelly when he was with the 49ers and Dennis Allen. So who your head coach is very important. We all know that. This is not like breaking news here. But the pressure that's going to be felt on this team, like Caleb has pressure, sure, but he's kind of on scholarship. Ryan Poles has pressure, sure, he ain't getting fired. There's only one guy who truly has winner, you're fucked pressure, and that's Matt Eberflus. And, you know, he's redone his image, seems like a good guy, obviously a solid defensive coach, but it's about winning this year. And I think if I went to everyone that's listening right now and Chicago Bears fan, you'd say probably anything under 10 wins would be a disappointment. Well, who's to say this guy has that capability? Not because your roster talent isn't there, but we all know roster talent doesn't equal wins always in the NFL over the course of it. It might win you an individual game, but it doesn't lock you into a 10-7 record. Just like good coaching can overcome. I thought Brian Daboll a couple years ago had one of the great coaching years in recent memory because I didn't think their team was any good. And they made the playoffs and won a playoff game. The other thing the Bears have to deal with is the division is really, really good. I mean, the Lions roster is loaded. They didn't lose any coaches. And they didn't lose any players that matter. The Packers, everyone's kind of anointing them, and I'm probably guilty of this too. Now, Jordan Love's going to have to prove it again, but I think we can all agree, probably going to be pretty good. Because as all of us learned that shorted the Packers last year, is like they kind of know what they're doing when it comes to quarterbacks. And we know their roster and the way they draft is always solid. So if Jordan Love, he doesn't even have to have some of the outrageous games. If he's just a top 15 quarterback, they're going to win. Why? Because their coach has proven to win constantly, whether it's Jordan Love or Aaron Rodgers. And even Kevin O'Connell. I mean, he had Kirk Cousins by far having the best year of his career. I mean, there were moments last year, especially that final month before he hurt his Achilles, he was like a top five quarterback in the NFL. And we know how much talent they have on their roster. So I think that the divisional difficulties, I also looked at their schedule. They play the 49ers. They play the Rams. They play the Houston Texans. They play the Indianapolis Colts. Even the Jags, who, you know, I think should be at least a little more feisty than last year. Like, that's a tough game. That AFC South division is not as easy as it's been. We know how much talent Seattle has on their roster. The Cardinals definitely have more talent this year than last year, and we saw last year when Kyler came back, like, they're a mother to deal with. Even if the Cardinals are a six-win team, you get Kyler on the right day, he can be a major problem for anybody. So this Bears hype, and I get it, has one guy circled. Because if it doesn't go well, you know who's going to get thrown overboard.
The Volume.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Leah Smart, host of Everyday Better, an award-winning weekly podcast dedicated to personal development. Whether you're looking for ways to shift your mindset or seeking more fulfillment in your life, we've got you covered. Join me as we dive into captivating stories and research-backed ideas that have empowered me and others to lead lives with more clarity and intention. Everyday Better, making growth an everyday practice. Listen to Everyday Better on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Jessie Hempel, host of the Hello Monday podcast. In my 20s, I knew what career success looked like. In midlife, it's not that simple. Work is changing, we are changing, and there's no guidebook for how to make sense of it. Start your week with the Hello Monday podcast. Listen to Hello Monday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.